what's on your mind, Cairns? Call 1300 872 911 now to talk to Macca. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland on 846 4CA.
You know, conversation on this program the last couple of weeks has been, from time to time, all about the recovery of our tourism industry after COVID. Now, nobody really has a clear picture of how that recovery is going to take shape. It has a hell of a lot to do, obviously, with the resumption of international connections between Australia and places like Japan and China, as well as, of course, Europe in the long term. Well, mind you, the cost of travel between Europe and Australia at the moment is absolutely prohibitive, and I would imagine that's a significant deterrent to the normal backpacker arrivals coming into Australia to take up the jobs, although I understand the banana growers are at long last getting some help on their property south of Innisfail, and that's an encouraging sign. Now, what's happening out of Asia? Well, we now know that there have been some of the limits lifted as far as access between Japan and Australia is concerned, which is wonderful news, of course, for the number of students who come into our town for English study, etc., and university. Out of China, it's interesting the discussion that's starting to emerge, because until the last few days, everyone thought, oh, no, Xi Jinping not going to encourage or even allow perhaps students to come into Australia in big numbers like they did before. Well, now that attitude may be starting to change the last few days. Now, Margie Osman the other day was talking about a resumption of some of those international figures from as early as the middle of next year, second quarter of next year. Mark Olson wasn't quite as upbeat as that, but he wasn't far off it. So maybe that's just around the corner, but let's go to the student component first. I've got Linda Cooper on the line. Linda is General Manager, Study Cairns, former Division 6 Councillor. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Linda. Are we starting to see the early signs, perhaps, of significant numbers of those students coming in from Asian countries now?
Look, I believe so, and I agree with you that obviously some of those costings, airline costings, are prohibitive at the moment, but we're not an island with that. The world's experience, obviously, with fuel pricing issues is probably going to affect that market for a little bit of time. But it doesn't seem to be slowing the students down from re-engaging with their love affair of studying in Australia. We do figures every month of how many students are coming into the hub here on Lake Street, and we've had 1,500 engagements with students over the last 3 months. We've had 662 students, international students, walk into our hub for services. So it's definitely a market that is increasing, and as you mentioned, that Asian market's coming back. So in July, all of our visitation was either from the North Americas or some of the European countries. In August and September, two of our strongest numbers coming back into the hub and who we were engaging with were Japanese students. So it's definitely flipping. And then we're also starting to get a lot of inquiries from both Taiwan and China. So I think, you know, as you said, those countries that have been talking about it are now actually starting to put that into action. And I think 2023 is going to be the real turning point for it.
Isn't that interesting? From Taiwan and China as well, it's starting to return.
Yeah, so and I've just been away on the Gold Coast for the AIEC, which is basically Australia's biggest international education conference. Mm. And there's some really other interesting markets that are coming out as well that are starting to travel in big numbers. Vietnam is an absolute huge market.
Really?
For Australia, absolutely. And in fact, I would say probably a third of the whole conference was focused on the Vietnamese market.
Wow.
So, yeah, so in Australia, India has been traditionally for the past few years one of our biggest markets and overtook China a couple of years ago. Mm. But the Vietnamese market, and then strangely enough as well, Mongolia is also an emerging market. So, as I said, there's a lot of really, really positive stuff coming out and new markets that we haven't dealt with before that I think are extremely positive for our region.
Mongolia?
Yes.
I'm in shock. I don't even know the capital city of Mongolia. Well, is that Ulaanbaatar or something, is it?
Whatever you say, John.
I'm in shock.
I look after students. It doesn't mean I'm that educated myself.
But isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's some absolutely incredible changes in the market share, and one of the reasons for that is because the last couple of years, whilst Australia's been in lockdown and there's been a lot of interest in students going to the UK and the US because it was a lot easier for them to transition to those areas over COVID, their pricing and structure has started to change within their own institutions. So the students who have been typically going to some of those other markets are looking for options, and Australia is still considered one of the top five international student destinations in the world. So we're at a prime spot right now to promote this, obviously not just as a student destination, but as an amazing destination to come to where they can get a lot of work as well.
Well, Taiwan was a surprise to me. China was an even bigger surprise. Vietnam was an absolute shock. Mongolia has floored me. I'm just picking myself up off the floor. This is amazing. It's like being one of those countries sort of closed down over decades. Nobody ever talks about Mongolia. Anyway, they're coming to town. This will be interesting. Let me ask you about the institutions that are being pursued. We've got JCU, we've got CQU, we've got the language colleges. Did the language colleges survive COVID?
Yeah, look, some of them basically did go into a survival mode. Some of them have dropped off the radar, but we're seeing very quickly them come back on again. And the numbers that they're getting through are really very, very healthy. And they are in advance of next year as well. So, and like even last week, Australis Institute, who hasn't been here before, they're looking at opening, or sorry, they have opened up here in Cairns. So it's all of those green shoots are now starting to translate into businesses actually reopening their doors. So a lot of the very big companies, like the Holmes Institutes, that did go into like a little bit of a, you know, like basically a hibernation period, they've all ramped back up. And they're all recording positive numbers going forward. So that's why I think that, you know, despite things not happening that quickly and these concerns about travel prices, there is still a huge appetite in both the working visa market and the student visa market. And one of the big things that's happened with the student visa market as well, John, is that the federal government have actually extended the number of hours that those students can work.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so they were restricted before to 20 hours a week. At the moment, it is unlimited, and we've been advised that is definitely through till June next year. And we have received some advice that it will probably be extended until we get Australia out of this whole labour shortage issue.
Wow.
But it means that students can come here, earn a decent income whilst they're studying.
Yes.
They've still got to abide by their study guidelines, so they've still got to be able to manage that, you know, going and doing their units that they're supposed to be doing. But it means that not only can they actually help out with working more, it means that they can actually have more discretionary funding to actually spend and enjoy themselves while they're here.
When you're saying they still have to be able to do both, how intense will the scrutiny be on how they're faring in class?
Well, it's pretty intense, because if they do not do the, if they're not actually committing to their unit courses, they actually do have their student visas actually questioned.
Okay.
So it's very tight as far as that's concerned. So if a student is actually having problems completing units, which happens to all students, whether they're a domestic or an international student, but because they're on a visa program, they do actually have to go and either have that amended, or they actually have to have that discussion with extending for a couple of months to make sure that they fulfil all those units. So that is very well and truly controlled.
The 20 hours limit out the window, is that already being applied?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
You know, do you know how many times if you book in a restaurant, oh, no, we don't do lunches. Oh, no, we haven't done them for, oh, no, we can't get staff in the kitchen. Oh, no, there's no waiters and waitresses available.
Yeah,
so many places are working half hours because they can't get staff. So many accommodation houses can't get cleaning staff. They can't even get receptionists in some cases. So this is big news. So students taking up the opportunity already to extend those hours?
Oh, absolutely. So we get on a daily basis. Like, I had a student come in from the Czech Republic yesterday who came in to show me his resume and said, I'm going to go and speak to a few other places today for some work, because he's actually working in one location, but he does want more hours.
Wow.
So Yeah, so there's plenty of opportunity for them. But also, by the sound of it, if he couldn't extend his hours where he was, it means that wherever he's currently working have actually got enough staff. So that's the really positive stuff that I'm starting to see in here, John, on a daily basis.
Gee, these are important turning points, aren't they, Linda? Really, really important.
Oh, they
important.
Are, and I hope you can hear the smile in my voice.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful to add to the vibrancy. Or, for example, we've got like one of our students who's one of our student ambassadors at the moment. She's actually just won a local culinary award while she's studying with TAFE. So, you know, for them, those experiences are so magical and tie them very strongly to our region. So it becomes a cultural event for her and not just a study place.
Yeah.
So, you know, and congratulations to Lady and the TAFE team for supporting her in that. So she just won a national award. And I just, you know, these are the moments where we should be applauding our providers as well of keeping the dream alive for these students. So it's been hard for everybody.
This has been an excellent update, Linda. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure. It's all positive, John,
yes.
All positive.
Yeah, how upbeat was that? That's Linda Cooper, General Manager, Study Cairns.